This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unusual, the unconsolable, the undeliverable.
Johnny and Billy here. We took a little break and had to air a rerun last week. You know, life happens.
It does. It's a shame, but it does happen.
Anything strange happened to you in the last week or two?
You know, my whole life is strange. So nothing in particular, though.
Yeah, no near death, no Sasquatch sightings, nothing.
I had a wonderful time, went to Seattle.
And that's strange.
Well, yeah, I had to see the cardiologist there,
but
we had a good time. You know, the wife and I went to, had a nice lunch at the Thai restaurant, and it was just delightful.
Well, our guest today, we've talked about him in the past and a piece that he's recently done. Actually, I believe he's done it a while ago, and we're going to have him tell us a little bit more about the documentary that he did. My good friend, Ronnie Dumont. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So we've talked about the documentary that you did a while back, and it's on the Illuminati. Before we get into that, how did you get into this entire thing, this Illuminati thing, and making the documentary?
You know, I had never been into quote-unquote conspiracies in any way, shape, or form. I was pretty naive about all that stuff. And I was working for this guy, and we had a phone call, and we were talking about conspiracies. And he just said, well, if you think that's something, and I even forget what the subject was, but he says, well, if you think that's something, look up 9/11 on the internet. And I go, 9/11? And I think it was maybe 2004, 2005 in that area. So it had been a few years since it had happened. And to be honest with you, I had never, ever in a million years thought anything of it other than what, you know, I was told on the news or whatever. It was a horrible thing. Matter of fact, I even remember the morning that I woke up and it was on 9/11, and they were showing all this imagery on TV, and I thought they were rehashing something from the Oklahoma City bombing. And then as soon as I sat there and was watching TV, a good friend of mine, Jerry, stopped by, and then he filled me in. I was like, God, have you been watching this all morning? And I was just like, well, actually, because I work late, I said, I just got up. I didn't know what it was. And then it started to develop in front of me on the TV. And of course, like everybody else, I was just completely freaked out and blown away. Matter of fact, I think I went to church the next day for the first time in like 20 years or something, you know, and not to say that I'm a religious guy or anything, but the whole thing just completely freaked me out like it did with everybody else. But I didn't think about it other than that until a few years later. And then, And I was talking with my boss, Joe, and he told me to look up 9/11. It's really obvious that the information that people look at on the internet, that's either going to be, they actually still buy the official story. But for me, when I started looking at the images and looked at how the building went down, I think it took about 15 minutes for me to realize that it was fishy as heck. I got into it that way. From there, I just started looking into it. I was so curious about it. And of course, you know, it's I think the term is cognitive dissonance or something like that, to where, you know, you see something and it doesn't correspond with your core beliefs, you know. So I'm watching this stuff about 9/11 and my mind is going, holy moly, that looks fishy as heck. But my heart is going, no way, that could, you know, that no. I started really digging into it. I dove into it really, really deep. What I ended up finding was 10 times more mind-blowing than anything that could be conveyed, either whether you think 9/11 is the official story or if you think it's not the official story. Through research, I had came to the conclusion that it was an inside job, or it was controlled demolition, or whatever you want to call it. And that's a jumping point for me for the things that I got into. I'll tell you right now, and this is going to sound so bizarre and it's going to sound so weird, which is probably why I'm on your show. through my research, I'd come to the conclusion that it wasn't just an inside job, but it was also a ritual.
That's interesting.
Now, you can start off with 9/11 as being, and the starting point for anybody, and everybody's got to do their own research. With my little documentary, Find Muck, the movie, one of the first things I say is, I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I just want you to do your own research. Some people are very insistent about what they think on either side, and I'm always about have an open discussion about it and use common sense and reasoning and a little critical thinking in order to derive at your conclusions. I can honestly say when it comes to 9/11, there's a few other things like World Trade Center number 7 that went down at 5:20 that day. It's a 47-story building that fell in its own footprint at the rate of free fall. But the way that I can get people to understand that it might be a controlled demolition is by something extremely simple and easy. And that is just about seventh grade physics. With World Trade Center number 1 or the North Tower, I think that was hit first, you have an impact zone and an airplane crashes into the building. Fair enough. The building has been encroached and there's, you know, a plane that fell into it, but it's asymmetrical. The plane, you know, crashed into one side of the building. It didn't, you know, crash on all sides. But the thing about it is that how I get people to understand that a controlled demolition is that 1/5 of the building above the impact zone fell through the rest of the building at near free fall speed. Now, when the airplane crashed into the building, there's fire and, you know, it's kerosene, which is jet fuel, and there's a huge fire, right? So there's no denying that. But the most important thing to realize is all the structural steel, thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of structural steel was never, it wasn't a compromise. So the whole time the fire is burning, you know, there's still all the structural steel below the impact zone. Now, when the top of the building started collapsing, that small amount of building crushed, 1/5 of the building crushed the other remaining part of the building at near free fall speed as if it wasn't there. If you took the top half of the building, removed all the structural steel, pretend it didn't exist, the top of the building fell to the ground at nearly the same amount of speed, like there wasn't any building there. So the structural steel had to have been compromised in order for the top of the building to fall through the path of most resistance at near free fall speed. So all that structural steel, you know, it's like scientifically, it just didn't exist. From there, you know, and there's other things to consider. I mean, there's just tons and tons and tons of things to consider. But I try to make it as simple as possible. You just can't have 1/5 of the building fall into the other rest of the building at near free fall speed in a symmetrical fashion when the damage was asymmetrical. And I strongly urge anybody to do their own research. Unfortunately, people come to their conclusions without doing the research. It's actually really simple to find this information. So in short, what I'm saying is that 1/5 of the building fell through the other 4/5 of the building at near free fall speed as if it wasn't there. It defies Newton's laws of physics. I mean, that just can't happen.
So where could a person find the information on the 9/11 incident?
The most prominent one and the guy that's out there the most, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, is probably one of the best ones. That's a hub for all these engineers that are, you know, saying that just can't happen physically. And then they back it up with forensic proof. That's one of the frustrating things to me is that the people that buy into the official story they won't look at that information. I mean, they just take it at face value. And I completely understand, too, because our whole lives we watch, you know, Walter Cronkite or whatever, you know, and it's like the face of TV or whatever. And if they tell you something, most people just take it for granted that whatever they're seeing on TV is the truth, which is not the case. I mean, you know, it's like, and that's where you really get into conspiracy. Like Vietnam is a good one, in the Bay of Tonkin. There's so much of it, you know, the Kennedy assassination. And from my research, it's all the same people behind this crap.
Okay, who's doing it?
We say the Illuminati, and I'm really not a big fan of that term. Not really anymore. When you say Illuminati, it can be dismissive. You know, there was this guy called Adam Weishaupt. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. But on May 1st, 1776, this guy who was a Freemason, so to speak, or they were wrapped up in the Freemasonic cabal. I don't know how better way to explain it. This is what they consider the Illuminati, and that's what they called it. And then the government in Germany broke them up and said that they were illegal to be an entity or whatever, you know. And then it said that they went into hiding. So that's another thing that any of your listeners would have to investigate themselves. You know, a lot of this stuff, I've researched it, and it's in my head, but sometimes I have a hard time just bringing up some facts off the top of my head. So the Illuminati was something from 200 some odd years ago. The people that are behind it, they're the Zionists. Now, this is really shaky ground, and I need to really explain something about Zionism, because as soon as you say something like that, somebody's saying that you're being anti-Semitic. I'm not talking about Hebrew people as a race or a language, and I'm not talking about the Jewish religion or as a people. I'm talking about a political movement that started off in the financial district of London. And it's a political movement, so it's really important that people understand that rather than saying something about Israel or whatever, you know, that all of it's connected. The UN, Israel, you know, some call it the World Banker or the World Elite, but 9/11 was conducted by the global elite, is a good word that I like to use, and the financial institutions and the power players behind that. Let's think about it. If 9/11 is an inside job, which it was, it was the pretext for a war that's still going on now. People often say, it's like, God, is that even important anymore? Is it like the Kennedy assassination to where it just gets woven into a conspiracy theory thing, you know? But the wars are still going on. So if 9/11 was false, then terrorism itself is false. I mean, and when you really think about it, I mean, it's hard to believe that they could pull off 9/11 and then absolutely nothing has happened ever since. When it comes to terrorism, I mean, if they could pull off 9/11, is it really going to be that hard for them to pull something else off? When you think about why we're over there waging war, let's get down to brass tacks. It's about oil. Afghanistan is where 95% of the opium is produced. You know, everybody talks about the opium epidemic. If we're in control of Afghanistan, that shouldn't be an issue because that's where all the heroin is coming from. That's something to consider. You got a pipeline over there. And not only that, I think Afghanistan holds mass amounts of lithium, which is a very important thing with all of our batteries and cell phones and stuff like that. So when you dig into that stuff a little deeper, then it's really something you have to consider, that there's a lot of resources over there. And that just happens to be where all the terrorists are. It's like a bunch of boogeymen hiding in caves. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's where they're at. Where all the opium, lithium, and oil is.
So how was the 9/11 a ritual? Was there symbolism involved?
This was the stuff that absolutely captivated me. When I was looking at the 9/11 stuff, it was the Twin Towers. As I did my research and I realized who were the people behind the Twin Towers, which were the Rockefellers. Matter of fact, at its christening, they dedicated the Twin Towers to unite strength and beauty, I believe. And that came out of those were words from the Nelson Rockefeller and David Rockefeller. When you say a marriage of strength and beauty, I think was the terms that they used. That is a direct connection to this entity in Freemasonry called Boaz and Jochen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. There's a few ways of pronouncing it, but you spell it Boaz, B-O-A-Z, and Jochen, J-A-C-H-I-N. Boaz and Jochen. Now, this is really trippy stuff. So the Freemasons are completely nutty about Solomon's Temple. In front of Solomon's Temple, there are these twin pillars called Bose and Jochen. And that is the symbolism. The Twin Towers evidently represented that. That's pretty controversial. You could either take it either way. But the most important thing about 9/11 and the symbolism is this thing called the spherical caryatid. Now, in between the Twin Towers, there was this statue called the spherical caryatid. Well, we all know what a sphere is, and it was a big black globe-looking thing. But a caryatid is a definition people aren't that familiar with, and what a caryatid is a female figure taking the place of a column or a pillar. Anybody that's listening, you can imagine an old Greek building, and some of the columns were actually in the form of a woman, right? So you could look at old ruins and stuff like that. So basically what it's called is the round caryatid or the round pillar, whatever you want to call it. That is significant because in Freemasonry, the duality of opposites, and this is where we get into a lot of esoteric stuff, you know, the duality of opposites come together and create ascension. I ended up making my documentary, Find Muck, the movie, because I would tell people about this stuff. You just can't wrap your mind around it unless you're looking at images that correspond with it. Do you know what Caduceus is?
I do not.
I do, yes.
Yes, Caduceus. So every time you go to the hospital, you see two snakes whirling up a staff into a winged sun disk.
Yes.
Right? And actually, the duality of opposites, or caduceus, that image goes all the way back to Sumerian times. And it's really prominent in ancient Egyptian stuff, which is why the Freemasons are just nutty about Egyptian stuff. When you have caduceus, what's that symbolizing is it's symbolizing two entities, the two snakes, that represent the duality of opposites. And when they come together, they create ascension. And the ascension to these people is most likely to the eastern star Sirius. Man, this, I know it just sounds so nutty. I know it really does. But that's what these people are into. I personally am not into any of this stuff. I think it's just goofy, wacky nuttiness. But I'm just telling you that these people are really into this stuff. And I mean, like I said, it goes back to Sumerian times.
I just wanted to clarify, when you say these people, who are you talking about? Are these corporate leaders, financial leaders,
yeah,
politicians? Who are they?
Right. When people say the Illuminati or whatever, you know, and it's just like that, like I said, it's not a term I'm really that happy with, but you have to really, really consider what Freemasonry is. Freemasonry is a depiction of Kabbalah. Kabbalah, and if you look at the Kabbalah tree of life, it has that duality of opposite. It has a pillar on one side, and it has a pillar on the other, and then it has an ascension up the middle. The degrees that Freemasons use is actually from Kabbalah. The Scottish Rite of Freemasonry has 32 degrees. The 33rd is honorary. You can't achieve the 33rd degree unless they give it to you, but you can achieve 32 degrees in the Scottish Rite. Well, there's 32 paths that connect these sephirots in the Kabbalah tree of life. And a sephirot is these circles, and they represent achievement through different things. I mean, think of Boy Scouts. When you're a Boy Scout, you get merit badges through achievement. Well, the Boy Scouts was actually derived from Freemasonry. So the Rainbow Girls and all this other stuff, my family's Catholic, and I remember my mother telling me that my mother wasn't allowed to join Rainbow Girls or anything like that. I think the Catholics were against Freemasons or whatever that is. The Kabbalah Tree of Life has these things called 10 sephirots. They represent achievement and ascension as you, and I don't understand. I've read a few books on Kabbalah, but it just sounds like a bunch of hocus pocus to me, which is what it is. It's a Jewish mysticism religion. At any rate, there's 10 sephirots in the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and there's 10 degrees in the York Rite of Freemasonry. There's 32 paths in the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and there's 32 degrees in the Scottish Rite. So Freemasonry is like a layman's version of Kabbalah, and that's where the symbolism comes from. That's where the twin towers come from. And initially, when we start talking about this, I think you remember I said that Nelson Rockefeller and David Rockefeller, when they cut the ribbon on the Twin Towers, they called it a marriage of utility and beauty. And that's a direct reference to the Kabbalah Tree of Life, the outer pillars of the Kabbalah Tree of Life. In order for your listeners to understand this even more, the duality of opposites coming together is really important to understand. So we were just talking about Caduceus, right?
Yeah.
The two snakes winding up a staff to a winged sun disk. Now I want everybody out there to imagine looking at Caduceus from an aerial view. And you know what you see? You see yin and yang. Yin and yang is actually a depiction of Caduceus. When you see yin and yang, it's the duality of opposites, which is black and white, which is really prominent in Freemasonry. And the two dots represent the eyes of the snake. This duality of opposite mindset even goes into our popular culture. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and lo and behold, there was a snake in the Tree of Life, right? So all this goes back to Caduceus and the snakes. There was a snake in the Tree of Life, and then you have duality of opposites, which is Adam and Eve. And now when you go to somebody's wedding, well, maybe not so much anymore because of, people see marriages a different way. But traditionally, the woman would be dressed in white and the man would be dressed in black. It's the duality of opposites. It's a reference to yin and yang. Yin and yang is a reference to Caduceus. Caduceus is a reference to the twin pillars of Solomon's temple. So all this stuff whirls around together and all has the same kind of meaning. The most important thing to realize with the duality of opposites, like with man and woman, the ascension is creating a life. You can argue it, but Solomon's temple is actually a depiction of the sex act, and it represents that duality of opposites of man and woman come together, and then represents the point of conception. So when you have the duality of opposites, like the Kabbalah Tree of Life or like Solomon's temple, that has those twin towers, pillars, at the entrance, which is Bose and Jochen. The most important thing is that when those duality of opposites, and by the way, those pillars in front of Solomon's temple represent a north pillar and a south pillar, which brings us back to 9/11. But the north pillar and the south pillar come together and they create ascension. And that ascension is a middle pillar in the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and then that represents the ascension to the eastern star Sirius. Now, we go back to 9/11, which is how we got onto this. When you think about those twin pillars, they are the north and south pillar representing Boaz and Jochen, or utility and beauty, as the Rockefellers call it. And if we go back to what I was talking about with the spherical caryatid, which we have determined is a round pillar, when the Twin Towers came down, that statue represented the third pillar of ascension. And that's how the One World Trade Center was erected, representing the third pillar. So the Twin Towers came down, and the third pillar came up out of the spherical caryatid. And the One World Tower is an anti-prism obelisk. It represents pi, which is really important to the Freemasonry, and it's also the exact same shape as the Transamerica building. It's all just very wacky. It's nutty, kooky stuff.
More with my good friend Ronnie Dumont and his mini documentary available for free on YouTube, Find Muck, coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, alien, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and today we're talking with Ronnie Dumont. He made the documentary Find Muck available on YouTube. You can watch it for free and learn quite a bit about the symbolism that apparently is all around us. So, Ronnie, why would the Illuminati want to take the Twin Towers down?
A few people with this esoteric mindset actually think, some people think that those towers were actually built to come down. Really, really super cool when it comes to this program, and I want all your listeners to maybe jot this down. There is this thing called predictive programming, which is something that I've been getting into lately, and that is just freaking mind-blowing. So if you look up predictive programming, you'll actually see so many references to the Twin Towers coming down, but it's long before 9/11/2001. So many things on television that came out that made specific references to 9/11. Matter of fact, if you look up The Matrix, Neo's driver's license said that he was born on 9/11/2001. It's just, oh my God, that stuff is just so crazy. And if there's anything that your listeners really want to like venture off into the weird and bizarre, that's the stuff that really takes it for me. That's the fun stuff. So the Twin Towers actually were a burden. They were full of asbestos. They probably didn't want those buildings around anymore. There's this guy named Larry Silverstein actually bought the World Trade Center complex earlier that year. The Trade Center complex had been owned by the Port Authority for its whole existence. This guy named Larry Silverstein buys it, and then he takes out insurance on those Twin Towers. Boy, did he get paid. I would have to look up how much money this guy got, but the insurance company had to pay him out twice for those buildings because it was two different incidences. Your listeners could look this up, but there was a huge insurance policy on those Twin Towers. And when they came down, the leaseholder, Larry Silverstein, he got all that money. And he's been called out on the carpet many times about it. If you look up Larry Silverstein, there's actually a clip of this guy being interviewed by PBS, and he just flat out admits of its... He says that they decided to pull the building, which is a term in demolition. When a building is demolished, they call it pull a building. This guy, Larry Silverstein, the leaseholder who made all this money in insurance, actually says that they decided to pull the building. Actually, I think he's referring to World Trade Center number 7. I feel like I'm getting a little sporadic. I keep going off in different things, you know. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with World Trade Center number 7. That's another building that fell at near free fall speed within its own footprint, but no airplane hit it. It actually came down at 5:20. And it was a 47-story building. I mean, this is no small building. In any city in America, this thing would look gigantic. But it was just dwarfed by the Twin Towers. So if you look up World Trade Center number 7, which is the smoking gun to most people, you'll find out that that's a whole different thing altogether. And that building came down. Now, when you talk about what was the reasoning behind the Twin Towers, I mean, there's many different reasons. You can look it up, mostly because this guy made a huge amount of money in insurance. And if you also research, if you know anything about stocks, a put option is a way of investing when you think that a stock is going to drop. And they're called put options. And there was a lot of put options like on United Airlines before 9/11, the Thursday beforehand, and it was like it went up 2,000%. So there was a whole lot of people in the financial world that knew that the Twin Towers were going to go down, and United Airlines, when their stock dropped, it sure made a lot of money for people. But the most intriguing thing about that is World Trade Center number 7. And once again, I want everybody to do their own research. I'm just the messenger, but I don't ever want anybody to come to any conclusions by what I'm saying. You have to do your own research. When you look at the occupants of World Trade Center number 7, it's absolutely chilling. The 23rd floor, which was the emergency management office, and that's where Giuliani was. And the other tenants is the IRS, the Secret Service, financial institutions. Before 9/11, the 23rd floor on World Trade Center number 7 was equipped with its own water and air supply, and they installed bulletproof glass. But it was only on the 23rd floor. They didn't do it to any other floors. So if you look into that, I'm pretty sure that was probably the command center for the trade centers. I personally believe it was drones that were flown into the towers. Later on that evening at 5:20 in the afternoon, World Trade Center number 7 fell on its own footprint. This 47-story building fell to the ground in 9 seconds because of office fires. Oh, it's just mind-blowing stuff. Absolutely nutty. And then when you look at the tenants of that, you'll spooks, you know. It was the CIA's head office was in World Trade Center number 7, and all the incriminating evidence of Enron was in the basement. So that's how Enron went away. Crazy, crazy stuff.
I was just curious if the World Trade Center was ritualistic, why did they also hit the Pentagon? What was the purpose of that?
An airplane didn't even crash into the Pentagon. When people call me crazy and wingnut, or God, I even had a family member call me a tinfoil hat wearer. God, that was heartbreaking. and it's because these people, I'm talking about my own family. People do not look at the information. They just come to their own conclusions, and they just buy into the official narrative, you know? And it's cognitive dissonance. I mean, it just completely goes against everything that you've ever been told your whole entire life. From the moment you watch the nightly news to when you go to school and religion, it's just like, good Lord, if it isn't mathematics, you've probably been lied to. With the Pentagon, I would try to prove my point with people, and I would say, and I posted on Facebook many times, I have $1,000 cash for anybody that can prove to me that an airplane crashed into the Pentagon. And I'm so confident about it that I would make it $5,000, you know. But there's absolutely no proof whatsoever that any kind of airplane crashed into the Pentagon. It was a missile. There's no seats, there's no airplane, there's no people, there's no anything. Before the Pentagon really caught fire, there was the whole top of the building where the impact zone was. That stayed in place for a whole 45 minutes before it collapsed. If you look at images of the Pentagon before that part of the building collapsed due to fire because of the missile, you will find that there's no way in the world an airplane crashed into that building. The building is pretty the bottom part. There's even a CNN reporter on the scene. It was like only aired once. You can find it on YouTube. But there's this reporter in front of the building going, I don't see any airplane over here. I don't know what these people are talking about, but there's no airplane I can see. No evidence of any airplane that's crashed into the Pentagon. If you look at that information, you got to get online and do your own research. There's no airplane that hit the Pentagon. Most of the part of the Pentagon was actually something that was getting worked on. There was some construction going on, so it was mostly vacant. Do your own research and look that one up. I don't think any planes were crashed except for drones. And the one in Pennsylvania, what is it? Oh, I forget what the flight is. See, I know this stuff, but sometimes it's just hard for me to just pull it up out of my head, you know. Yeah. I don't have one of those.
You know what I find is really strange is that ever since we started talking about this topic, we've been having some audio interference with you, Ronnie. Right in the middle of you talking, all of a sudden it'll cut out.
I've had weird things happen to me with that kind of thing, too, but I try not to think about it too much because I don't want to be a tinfoil hat wearer guy, you know. I don't want to be a wingnut or, yeah, stranger things have happened, that's for sure. So
I have a question about your documentary. Does it cost anything to watch?
No. In order to find my little mini documentary, and can I say the reason why I made this documentary, the real reason had nothing to do with YouTube or me trying to get a message out or anything like that. That was not the case. The only reason why I made Find Muck the movie, the only reason why I made it is because I had a group of friends that just thought I was a nutcase. I have a very dear friend. His name is Caleb. He was one of these guys. He just like at one time, and this was many years, I think this was maybe 2008, you know, maybe 10 years ago, when I was really getting into this stuff. And he would just tell me, dude, I'm so sick and tired. You sound like some religious fanatic, or you sound like some Jehovah's Witness knocking at the door. I'm just like, he almost unfriended me.
Oh.
So I made Find Muck the movie. I showed it to him. I asked him, I said, dude, I'll tell you what. Will you please look at this? I made this, and I want you to look at it. If you don't see what I see, you'll never hear a darn thing out of me ever again. I'll never say anything about it. Just please watch this. I was talking about the symbolism of, I call them the geoscapes, like the Washington Mall. I was talking about this earlier, the Washington Mall, the Louvre in France, the mall where the Eiffel Tower is, and even St. Peter's Square. This is all Freemasonic stuff. The streets of Washington, D.C. is mind-blowing. When he watched Find Muck the movie, he literally gasped at what he was seeing. And that's when I knew I had him. You know, I was like, yes, good, finally. I don't wait to at least this guy. Now he comes up and tells me about stuff. When he started learning about it through me, he was like, hey, man, have you ever got into comic books and the symbolism in comic books? And I said, no, man, I've never even looked at any of that stuff. And then he started telling me about all the symbolism in comic books.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of weird symbolism in media. Almost every single recording artist takes a picture of them holding one hand over their eye. If any of your listeners go to their computer and Google Illuminati one eye, you'll see every single kind of celebrity you've ever seen with their hand up over their eye representing the eye of Providence, you know, the eye on the back of the dollar bill. There's the Israel Supreme Court is actually a gigantic stargate, and in the middle of the building is the pyramid with an all-seeing eye, the eye of Providence.
So why are they doing this? Why are these like recording artists and stars?
John?
Why are these recording artists and
Hello?
These? Can you? Do you got us still?
Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why are these recording artists and these stars?
I think it's an indoctrination of some sort.
Why are these?
We got a delay going on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not kidding. Maybe they're messing with us.
Could be.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that's something, I hope I'm getting through now. That's something that people just have to look up themselves because there's so much of it. So, you know, I'll just say when it comes to my documentary, I want people to remember it this way, and I show a lot of examples. And then from the documentary, you can actually look into the information yourself from there. The movie is called Find Muck, the movie. And you have to put in the full title, the movie, behind it. Now, Find Muck is my funny way of saying finding dirt on the internet. So Muck, M-U-C-K, Find Muck. But if you turn the two letters around, the first two letters, it says something different. And I'm not going to say what that is. So people can use their imagination. People can use their imagination, so that's a great way for people to remember it. Look up on YouTube, Find Muck the movie, and then you'll be able to see a lot of this imagery that I'm talking about. There was the halftime Super Bowl party a couple years back with Katy Perry. I remember that, and I don't know if you remember it, when Katy Perry came out on a gigantic lion with red eyes, and she's dancing around a Freemasonic tracing board, and there was so much symbolism, so much Illuminati, quote unquote Illuminati symbolism, that I actually had a few friends call me up and go, dude, did you see that? And I go, yeah, I certainly did. No surprise to me. what it is it's the symbolism of the Freemasons in the higher echelons. One of the things in Freemasonry or the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, is the pyramid. And you have to understand, and this is what I was talking about with Boy Scouts and the Kabbalah Tree of Life and Freemasonic tracing boards, is that you have to realize that the pyramid is one of their significant symbols because it represents the compartmentalization of power. So people on the lower levels don't understand what the people on the higher levels do, and that's the whole point of the degrees that you achieve in the Freemasonic occult, is that you achieve these different things and then you get higher into the ranks. But the bottom line is that it's compartmentalized, you know. When you look at the stuff in Hollywood, in movies, oh, and there's so much of it. Now when I watch movies, I spot all sorts of stuff. I mean, just even, I haven't talked about Freemasonic tracing boards, but there's so much symbolism in movies. It's unbelievable. And it's all Freemasonic stuff. And the reason why they do this, it's really no different than some guy in a gang like MS-13 tagging a wall or something. They get off on putting this, what they call, in plain sight. There's another documentary online, and it's called Secrets in Plain Sight by a guy named Scott Onstott. My documentary is just because I wanted to convey the information. I didn't want it to be too fancy. I was just hoping a few friends would see it and realize I wasn't a nutcase. This guy named Scott Onstott, he made a documentary, and get this, it's 3 hours and 45 minutes long. Absolutely mind-blowing. Knocks you back on your heels. It's just
Oh, we just lost you again.
I think we lost you, yeah.
Lost you again.
Did I get you?
Yeah, we got you.
Hello? Okay. And once again, the guy's name is Scott Onstott, and the documentary is Secrets in Plain Sight. That's another one to keep an eye on. So,
Ronnie right. Dumont, we appreciate you taking the time to talk about your mini documentary, Find Muck, the movie. You can find it on YouTube. You watch it for free. And one last time, what can our listeners do? Where can they go to find the information?
Okay, so Google is your best option, you know. Hopefully I'm going to get through just for this tidbit of information. I hope that your listeners watch my little documentary. It's only an hour long, but at the very end of the documentary, I give a list of keywords that you can tap into Google. I actually convey the subject matter at the end of the video. And if you get to the end of the video, are you guys still with me?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, making sure. When you get to the end of the little documentary, then I have a list of subject matter. And it all ties together. You know, I mean, JFK and, you know, that guy was taken out by the Illuminati. I could go on about JFK and the Dulles brothers and all that stuff, but I know that we're tying this up, so there's a lot of subject matter. And also, if I can say this, and I'm not, like I said before, I'm not a big fan of the word Illuminati, but if you want to email me, any of your listeners, you can email me at illumirani@yahoo.com, and if you have any questions about it, I'm more than happy to convey any of that information. And you spell it illumirani@yahoo.com, Illumirani. The reason why it's called that is because I had a bunch of friends nickname me that after I was like, oh, no, here comes Illumirani. He's about to talk about all that, you know, tinfoil hat crap. And I was just like, yeah. So if you do your own research, it's not as nutty as you might think. And you know what? A lot of people are into, like, doing fantasy football and keeping track of sports stats and all that stuff. it's a very strong subject, but it's just kind of my way of, you know, it's my hobby. I really enjoy looking into all this esoteric information. It's actually super fun. I mean, when you think, and one of the other things too is the other reason why I really wanted to convey the 9/11 stuff is, holy moly, there's a lot of people who got murdered. You know, somebody's got to stand up for these people. And not only that, you know, we go to the Middle East. There's a lot of different statistics, but some statistics say that there's millions of people we killed in Iraq. If 9/11 was false, which it was, we have gone over there and killed an awful lot of people. So it's really important that that has to be taken into consideration. This is all coming from my heart. I just really, truly care about innocent people. I don't think people need to be wiped out just because of a bunch of nutcases at the higher echelons of government and finance are getting their jollies by tearing down buildings and going to war. It's war contracts. There's a lot of money involved.
Yeah. Well, we've got to wrap it up. We're out of time right now. So thank you very much for coming on and sharing your insights. That was very interesting.
Thank you so much. And I think that I was a little sporadic because it just like, it, you know, you can't cover it all.
Yeah,
so,
there's a lot to go.
Fine Muck the Movie, we'll put it into perspective. And then other than that, I would anytime, guys, I really enjoyed this conversation. What a treat it is to have somebody to talk to with open minds. And
thank
that's
you.
All I ever care about anything. Else. You know, I don't care if people disagree with me, but just have an open mind. At least look at the information.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. Again, thank you, Ronnie Dumont, for spending some time with us. Hey, if you'd like to listen to our archive back episodes, if you want to contact us and yell at Bill for his kooky ideas and his new age hooey, log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor.